In today's video, I'm going to share with you some tips on how to improve your electric guitar tone without spending any money. What? That's right, without spending any money. Let's get into it. Welcome back, folks. My name's Shane. I'm coming to you today from the shores of Applecross here, just outside of Perth in Western Australia. Perth is actually over there. It's a beautiful city, but these suburbs out here, man, I tell you what, are some of the best I've seen anywhere in the world. So I thought what I'd do today is share with you some tips on how to improve your tone. I get a lot of comments on the channel, people saying, hey, how do you keep getting great tone out of this or that pedal sounds great. How do you dial it in? What's your thought process? All that kind of stuff. So in today's video, I'm going to explain a little bit about how to improve your tone, and again, without spending any money. So I hope you find this video helpful. But I bring you a bit of a change of scene in 2025. So if I end up somewhere like this, I'm gonna start shooting some videos out in the sun for a change, because it's so nice to actually see some blue sky instead of being crammed into my loud little studio. Let's get into it. So the first way to improve your electric guitar tone, and the thing that made the biggest difference to me personally, was improving my phrasing, improving my note attack, and also developing confidence. And all of these three things tie into each other. Now, let's say you've got a lot of confidence, but you don't have a lot of phrasing, or you don't have great note attack, then the end result isn't going to sound good. So you really need at least two or three of each of these things I've just spoken about to actually get great tone. We'll talk about how to dial tone in, but I think the most important things are note attack, phrasing, and confidence, and I'll explain why. All right, let's talk about woodshedding. Woodshedding is the art of locking yourself away in a room for a while and working on your chops to the point where you're actually listening to things in finer detail. You might be trying to replicate things off your favorite players, and this helps you understand what makes that playing great. I did this for months at one point where I just stopped going out to jams, I stopped doing all that kind of stuff, and I worked on my chops. I went into the woodshed, and one of my favorite players in Melbourne hadn't seen me for a while. This is going back many years, and he said, man, you've been in the shed. And I said, what the hell is that? What does that even mean? He goes, you've been practicing, right? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, you've been woodshedding. I was like, oh, is that what that's called? This is a long time ago now. And that's exactly what I was doing. And there's a way to work on this where you'll develop your sound, style, feel, approach, all that kind of stuff, and it will actually give you better tone. I noticed as soon as I went through this process of woodshedding, as soon as I got back out and playing live, my tone was instantly better, and I'll explain how I did it. All right, let's talk a little bit about the woodshedding process and how I went through it and how this helped my playing. I'm going to start with talking about an album from Robert Cray. So this is one of those albums I had on rotation, on high rotation, and I tried to mimic basically not only his phrasing about where he played and where he stopped playing, but also his attack. Robert Cray's attack is really unique. He's got a kind of heavy-handed approach in some ways, and then he's got this really sort of subtle way of playing, and he plays very clean. So I tried to dial in my amplifier at the time in a similar way, and I would just try to replicate as much of that as I could. Now, you're not going to be able to play every lick straight away or anything like that unless you've got perfect pitch and a lot of experience, but the process of this is trying to fit in with someone who's already very experienced. So if you can play the licks on time, even if it's a little bit different to what's going on, and you've got your own little bag of licks already, but you can try to mimic the attack of the player you're listening to, this will develop your tone to no end. And if you can make it sound great clean, it's going to sound great once you start stacking overdrives on. Now, another album I binge listened to was Albert King Live in 1979. And that's a very different approach to, say, Robert Cray. And the tone's different, the feel's different, the bends are different. There's a lot of different things going on. And Albert King had his own sort of really beautiful phrasing that Stevie Ray kind of tried to mimic as well. But there's no one quite like Albert King, you know, like he's just got his own feel. So for me, having those two inspirations were really good. And then I did the same thing with Eric Clapton albums. But the thing was, I didn't rush through them. I took one at a time, and I sort of tried to mimic the best that I could from certain songs, and then play through certain albums the best way that I could, with trying to fit in with what was going on. And this taught me a range of different things. It not only taught me different people's timing and feel, execution, how hard they would attack a note, how soft they would attack a note, but it would also teach me a lot about tone. If you're listening to one player all the time, you're not really going to have a wide range of tonal influences, and it's great to be able to listen to different things and pull things from different players. So if I'm playing clean, I tend to think of two players, Mark Knopfler and Robert Cray, or Robert Cray's kind of slightly off clean, but those are the two inspirations for me. And if I'm thinking sort of dirty blues, then I could think about other different types of players, and different guitars will also give me different inspiration through practice of listening to these players of mine that I love. Now, if you're listening to music that you're not that into, trying to work on these things, it's going to suck. So listen to some stuff that inspires you and keep it simple. If you're a blues player, like doing the same sort of stuff that I was doing, just listen to some simple blues. Don't go through prog rock. You won't be there yet. So just find things that are easy enough and fun for you to listen to over and over and develop these things. You know, this is kind of like proactive practicing. It's one of those things you can't kind of teach. A lot of people pick up a guitar, they'll start noodling around. But if you start noodling around over a backing track or try to fit in with some of the masters in that genre, it's going to make your escalation of chops, tone, and feel all improve. Because once you've got great note attack, it will develop your confidence, and then all of a sudden you'll have really great tone. Another really important thing with developing your tone and sound and all that kind of stuff is to stick to one lick at a time until you've completely memorized it to the point where you can pick the guitar up the next day and you're going to be able to play it without thinking about it. You also practice licks you learn over different tempos. It's one thing just to learn a lick, but if the song's slower or faster, you're going to be out of time. So it's really important to proactively practice these licks. Once you've got it burnt into your hand and brain memory combination, you know, that hand and muscle memory thing. So it's really important to work on these licks proactively and not just learn them over one type of song or speed. You've really got to work on it to the point where you can throw it in over just about everything. And this takes time. So if you do this, all of a sudden your confidence is going to be better, your tone's going to be better, and your execution is going to be better. All ties into getting into great tone. We're going to talk more about some gear stuff in just a moment, but this is by far the most important aspect of getting great tone. Now let's talk a little bit about how to dial in your own signature sound. And the funny thing about dialing in your own signature sound is it was inspired from someone else. So for me, a big inspiration when it came to tone was Eric Clapton's Live in Hyde Park. I loved his Strat tone, but moreover, I loved his ES-335 tone. It was some of the best guitar tone I've ever heard. I can't to this day understand why he doesn't play that guitar more. It just sounds so frigging good. So I was trying to dial in that particular sound with my Epiphone ES-335 and my Yorkville Trainor. Now, while that's not the same gear that Eric Clapton had, I was able to approximate it. But you know what the beauty of trying to dial in your hero's guitar sound is? It will never sound like their sound because they've got a whole lot of other stuff going on. And if you're listening to a final product on an album or on a DVD, which has had a lot of like EQ and post-processing and so forth, it's almost impossible to get the same sound. You could have the licks down, but the tone at the end of the day will be different. So I always used to think, man, I love that particular sound from that album. If I can dial in something similar with the gear that's on hand, then I'm going to be in my happy place. But this taught me one thing, that the sound I liked was in my head. And to find this, you've just got to listen to a lot of music and find out what really speaks to you. I always liked his tone because when he turned down, he had the subtleties of those beautiful clean tones. He had beautiful execution, vibrato, all that kind of stuff. But when he turned up, it would absolutely have some of the best sustain you've ever heard without losing sort of like the note clarity. And for me, that was the most important thing about great blues tone. You don't want it to be too dirty, but if it is dirty, you still want to be able to hear all of the notes. So that's kind of what goes through my head. Now, I've got my own sound out of trying to sound like that, and I never was able to mimic that sound, but I could mimic a lot of the chops and the feel, and I worked on all that kind of stuff. And I used to be able to play a lot of those songs note for note as well, but this is the all part of the process. If you know the sound that's in your head, you can dial it in with almost any piece of gear. This will give you a huge advantage into understanding the kind of tone that you want. So listen to the masters, try to replicate it, and then you've got your own unique sound at the end. Because again, even if you know all the licks, you're not going to sound the same. And this is awesome. Now let's talk about a practice technique that helped me develop better tone. And this is one of those things I don't hear too many people talking about, but I did this for a long time. Anytime I was practicing late at night, I was practicing without an amp. And what this taught me was a few things. One, I had to dig in more to make the guitar louder because you're playing it essentially acoustically. And if you're doing this on a Tele or a Strat, for example, you've got to work a lot harder to get that sustain there, right? Your vibrato improves, your bends improve, you get a sense of how to hit the guitar in a way that will give you some sound back. And that translates beautifully over to when you're plugged in. If you're gonna play plugged in, play clean, play dead clean without any effects, maybe other than just a bit of reverb or whatever, and this will give you the same sort of experience. But if you can make an electric guitar sound great without it actually being plugged in, sure, you're not gonna have the electric guitar tone, but if you can make it work and get some sustain out of it and get your vibrato to sort of linger around for a while, then you're onto a winner. As soon as you plug back into an amp or play dirty, it's going to sound all the more better. But don't do this too much. Just do it to the point where you're not attacking every note at a million miles an hour with 100% intensity, because then you've got nowhere to go and you'll sound like someone who's just playing loud all the time. But this is a really great tip for beginners who might be struggling to get a good sense of attack on guitar, because as soon as you start playing unplugged and you start digging in more, it's going to sound far better when you actually plug into an amplifier. Now let's talk about a practical approach to dialing in your guitar and your amplifier. So if you're playing live or at home, here's some tips to help you get better tone without actually going out and buying a new amplifier. So start with your guitar and tone control all the way wide open. So at 10, don't have the tone control on and don't have the volume of the guitar at 50%. Start with your amplifier. So work your amp to get the best tone possible. Start with your EQ controls at 12 o'clock. Start with your presence control if it has it at 12 o'clock and start there. Now, if you've got a tube or a valve amplifier, same thing. Your volume control will inherently make that amplifier sound better the louder you turn it up. And the louder you turn it up, the better it's going to feel to play as well. You get more sustain, all that kind of stuff, and it gives you really great compression. And just know the further you push these volume controls on tube amplifiers, the more dirt you'll get past a point. And this is the special thing about those amps if you're unfamiliar with them. Solid state amplifiers, some of them can kind of break up into that territory, but most of them can't unless you've got something like a PV Bandit, which I absolutely love. But we're gonna talk about just dialing in these amps. So start with everything at midday or 12 o'clock, all the way pointing up, back the bass control all the way off, and bring it back up until the point where you actually feel it kick in. And that will be roughly the right spot for the volume that you're at. Now, if you're at a lower volume, you can get away sometimes with having more bass, but if you're at a louder volume, sometimes you have to back it off. And another tip too is if you're playing in a carpeted room like a bedroom or a lounge room, for example, it's going to sound vastly different to how it would sound on a room with floorboards. So there's no one best setting. I always get asked, hey, what setting is your amplifier on? It doesn't matter. I've dialed it in from the sound in my head, but also based on the room I'm playing in. And this is one of the most overlooked things when it comes to amps. People set it up at home, they take it to a jam where there might be brick walls and reflective surfaces everywhere, and all of a sudden they're way too bright, or they're not bright enough, or whatever the case is, depending on the room. So experiment around, get to know the amp, and have sort of like a snapshot of your tone or your favorite tone in one room, and then try to dial that in the next room if you take your amp into another room or if you go out and play live. These are important factors to think about. So I've always got that snapshot of the sound I really love, which goes all the way back to my inspirations about trying to dial in my tone like we spoke about earlier. And that's my starting point in any room with any amplifier, with any guitar. If I can have that as a reference point and have it respond in a way that feels familiar to me, I don't have to think about my tone. I can focus more on my playing. So yeah, don't make the mistake of thinking your guitar will sort out all of your tone problems. The amplifier has to be set in its best way possible for your particular sound. Now, some amplifiers have inherently way better tone than others, or a tone at least that's more impressive to you personally. Everyone likes different tones. So if you're playing metal, odds are you're not gonna want a Fender Princeton, but if you've got a Fender Princeton and you're a blues guy, you're gonna love it because you can turn it up and get that really iconic sound that works great for single coil guitars or Les Pauls, whatever, right? So you can get a really great blues tone based on that particular amplifier, but you've gotta find the right tool for the job as well. Not every amplifier will give you the optimum tone, but generally speaking, almost any type of amplifier, digital modeling amp, solid state amplifier, tube amp of any size, I can find the sound that works best to me based on the sound in my head and my experience messing around with the control. So don't be scared to turn the tone control up or down to see what happens at different volumes, because you might be shocked. The tone that you've been looking for might already be in the amplifier that you have already. Now let's talk a bit about overdrive pedals. So if you're thinking about getting a new overdrive pedal to improve your tone, that can definitely help. But before you go do that, what I would suggest is if you already have a few overdrive pedals, start combining them. Have one as your rhythm sound or off clean rhythm sound and try another one as a boost. Switch them over and try the same thing, because the sound that's in your head might already be in the pedals that you own. Overdrive pedals are a lot more similar than they are different in many ways. You can find a great off clean, sort of crunch tone or high gain tone out of most of them. Sure, there's like low gain overdrive pedals and really high gain overdrive pedals out there as well. But once you start stacking them, really great things can happen. If you've already got a couple of even bog standard ones like the Boss OD3 or the Blues Driver or the Tube Screamer or whatever, that might be all that you actually need. Those are so iconic for a reason. That's because they cover like 90% of people's taste. So yeah, if you've already got a few overdrive pedals, odds are you can find the sound that's in your head just with what you've already got. But we're gonna talk about one more important thing that I think needs to be said, so let's get into it. Now let's talk about maybe the most important point if you've been playing for a while. So if you've already got a really nice guitar or two, you've got some effects pedals, you've been working on your chops, but you still can't get great tone, then the amplifier is the weakest link. The amplifier will make the biggest difference to your sound over anything. You could buy a $25,000 guitar, plug it into a piece of junk amplifier, and it's going to sound like a piece of junk guitar. Now, some great players can probably still make that work, but if you've got a great amp and you've got an inexpensive guitar, that guitar is still going to sound fantastic, whether that's a Harley Benton or an Artist guitar or a Squire or whatever. You're plugging it into, say, a Fender DeVille on the clean channel, it's going to sound like magic. Whereas if I take a custom shop Fender Strat, plug it into a plastic, fantastic piece of crap amplifier, it's not going to sound anywhere near as good. The takeaway message here is don't underestimate the importance of a great amp. You kind of date the guitars, but you marry the amplifiers. This is why I've had the same amps in the back line of amplifiers in my studio now for so long. The amplifiers are the key ingredient for getting great tone once you have everything else sorted out in this video. One of the things I can highly suggest is if you're thinking about getting into guitar more seriously, think about your amplifier collection first. It really does make a big difference. Find an amp that's great for a small room. Find an amp you can take out and be loud enough anywhere you play. It will make the biggest difference at the end of the day. And that wraps up this In The Blues Tone podcast. Let us know what you think of my thoughts when it comes to improving your tone. And again, you can improve your tone so much just by putting in the work in the woodshed, putting in your time, you know, into practice, learning some new stuff and mastering the stuff you learn before you move on. You know, it's one thing just to learn a lick and then forget it 2 days later. You've really got to sort of make it become a part of your DNA, as my friend Dr. Rick would say. So you've got to learn it to the point where you're not even having to think about it. And this drastically improves your ability to not only learn new licks, but also recall stuff when you need to recall it and actually improvise with it in different ways. We'll talk more about that on another video, but yeah, you can definitely get better tone without spending a bucket of money just on more guitars. If you're gonna spend money on anything, get an amp, but also put in the time in the woodshed. The woodshed will make the biggest difference to the tone and feel and all that kind of stuff at the end of the day, and that's what people will be listening to if you do plan on going out and playing live. Anyway, thanks again for watching and listening. My name's Shane. I hope you've enjoyed this video. Leave a thumbs up if you can. Thanks to the Patreon crew and YouTube channel memberships. If you want to find out more about them, I'll link them down below. Catch you soon.